Hey, good morning, Authentic Life Church. Pastor Jeff here, and I'm excited to open God's Word with you today. Jessica and I and our family, we've been worshiping with you each week. We gather around the computer screen, and we're singing with you. We are praying with you and for you. We are hearing the Word of God preached, and we're doing all of that on Sunday night. It's kind of different. Remember, we're 9 hours ahead of you, and so when you guys are there on Sunday morning, right, it's nighttime here, and so it's kind of weird, but we love it. We love being able to be a part of what God's doing at Authentic Life Church each Sunday. We look forward to it every week. It's a highlight for us. As you can tell, I am outside. There's really no great place for us to, you know, video this, but we're doing it outside. This is what we got. We're gonna go for it and just see what God has for us. I will tell you, we're grateful for technology. We're grateful for the ability to connect with you guys through social media and through technology on our phones and Zoom and different things like that. But I'm gonna tell you what. Nothing can really replace just being together. In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul. He writes to many different churches, and he's writing to brothers and sisters in Christ, to those that he misses and he loves and he wants to be with. And he's writing to those. He says something that really stuck with me. I remember reading this years ago, and it really stuck with me. And in his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, as he's writing to them in chapter 2, he says, "Church, I long to see you face to face. I long to see you face to face." And it's not just here. Man, he says something similar to this in other passages and other churches as well. And for Paul, they had the ability to write these letters. They had the ability to receive letters and to communicate in that way. But for Paul, man, just it never replaces being able to be with one another and see each other face to face. And I can tell you it's so true. Our family, we long to be there and to see you face to face. And we're going to be back soon to be able to do that. But it's also been amazing to see God at work here where we are in our adoption process. We know that he is with us. We know that he's at work and he's using us. It's been neat to see how God has been in charge of this whole adoption process. And even when we ran into other things, we just see God provide for us and really step in and show that he's there. But I want to tell you, church, thank you to you. Thank you to our church family for being there for us, for being a part of our adoption journey, for praying for us, for supporting us and coming alongside of us in any way that God has asked you to do that. Thank you to those in our church that have really just stepped up and served in other ways while we are gone. I'm telling you, it's just a reminder that we have an amazing church family, right? We really do. We have an amazing church family. And it's also a reminder that Authentic Life Church belongs to Jesus, right? It is his church. We say that all the time, but we get to serve him and glorify him and do all of that together. And I'm grateful for you and looking forward to opening God's word today. It's been really good to hear some of my good friends come in and preach through this series in Psalms. I'm grateful for these men. They are godly men. They love the Lord. And I can tell you, each one of these guys really loves our church and our church family. Pastor Charles, man, I love you, brother, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you for bringing the word, but thank you for leading, and thank you for all that you're doing over this last few weeks. It probably seems like more than that, but man, we're grateful for you. And man, church, what a message that Pastor Charles brought last week from Psalm 27. And me and my wife, Jessica, we looked at each other afterwards and we're like, man, that was just so good. And we thank God for you. It really has been fun and encouraging each week to walk through these passages in Psalm together. And I'm looking forward to continuing that with you today. And so if you have your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, I know that they have some at the back table there for you. And so just raise your hand or go back and get one. And that's our gift to you. But if you would open your Bible with me, and we're going to look to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. It's such a great passage. We've seen this really each week, but this is one of those psalms that really reminds us just who God is, right? This is a passage that teaches us and reminds us that we serve and that we follow and that we are loved by a God who really has the whole world in his hands, right? Remember that song we sang as a kid? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's not distant. He's not disconnected. He never loses control. And here's one thing that I hope we see this morning. No matter what is going on in your life or in the world around you, no matter what you are walking through, we can know this. We've seen this each week, and we're going to talk about it again today. God is still God. God is still God. And when we look at Psalm 46, we don't know for sure the exact details of what is going on in their life and their nation, but what we do know is this. We do know that there was some sort of national tragedy. They were dealing with this as a people group and as individuals. They were facing something that was shaking them. And isn't that something that we can all relate to, right? I think it's safe to say, church, right? We have all experienced some news or some event that has rocked our world. I remember not long after graduating high school, hearing my parents tell us some news that really rocked my world, telling us that Grandpa had cancer. Man, we love Grandpa. We traveled with Grandpa. We love spending time with him. He was really a hero of mine. I love spending time with him. And we got that news that he had cancer. And we watched him fight hard. And eventually he passed away and went home to be with Jesus. But losing Grandpa really hurt, church. I remember being in college and sitting in the computer lab on September 11th, 2001. And all of us just stopped what we were doing and we were watching what was happening in our nation. We're watching terrible events unfold. Our nation faced a tragedy that shook us as a nation and as individuals. And we watched all of this happen right in front of us. But one of the things that was really neat that we saw was many people were flocking to the church and they were flocking to prayer meetings and times because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to respond. They didn't have the answers. And so they were trying to seek the one who did. In 2020, our world faced a battle that shook us. Maybe in your life, you're walking through a situation, maybe it's with your child. Maybe you're walking through a situation, a tough deal in your marriage. Maybe there's news about your job, about your bank account or your retirement. Maybe there's a situation that's just entirely different than all of that. But no matter what it is, no matter the situation, no matter the tragedy, no matter the fear, this passage is going to be super good for us because it's super clear. It tells us where our eyes and where our hearts should be when we walk through it. And so, church, would you just stand with me to honor God in the reading of his word? And join me in Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. And you guys follow along as I read that. And then we're going to really focus on that first three verses at the beginning. We're going to read through those together. Here's what God's word says. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Hey, would you pray with me, church? Father God, as we stand here with your word in our hands, with the scripture on the screens, God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, God, that we have this letter from you. And God, we thank you that you know that we're going to walk through hard times. But we thank you for this passage that tells us who you are and where we should gear our hearts and focus on when we walk through it. God, would you teach us today? Would you let us know that you're here with us? Would you remind us that you love us? And God, we look forward to being taught of who you are and what that means to us. But we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, church, you can be seated. This psalm is often read during times of tragedy, during times of trouble and persecution. It's been read throughout the history of the church, right? This is a passage that is used many times at funerals. It's a passage used by Christians. It's a psalm of encouragement for Christians. It's a psalm that tells us about God and his protection and God's presence, especially when we're walking through brokenness and chaos. And while it is a word of encouragement and a word of strength and comfort for us, it is ultimately a psalm that tells us who God is. It tells us who he is and who he is to us. And as we read this passage, there's one thing that we know for certain. Because we live in a broken world, we will at some point need this passage. We will at some point need Psalm 46, because we're all going to face some hardship or trial or something that just shakes us or rocks our world. You may have something going on in your life right now, so this is timely for you. Maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe it's coming up. Maybe you just went through it. But there's something in your life that's maybe causing chaos. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe there's confusion. Maybe it's just hard. Or maybe you have questions. And so you need to hear the words that are from this passage this morning. So as we study God's word together, I want us to see some really important truth that I believe will encourage you and me and Christians and help us as we walk through any hardship or tragedy. And the first truth comes from verse 1, and really with just in the first two words. This passage begins with these two words. It says, God is. God is. The psalmist begins just by saying God is, and then goes on to describe who God is. But I think it's important for us to just pause and remember, church, that God is, right? In the midst of our everyday life, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of anything that causes fear or discomfort or stress, we can know that God is. It doesn't say that God used to be. It doesn't say that God might be or that sometimes God is. It says God is. That's good news, church. Our world is always changing. Things around us are always changing. You turn on the news at 9 a.m. and then you hear it again at 3 p.m. Man, it's completely different. There's a lot of change. But here's the great news. God is still God. He is steadfast. He is unchanging, church. The nation of Israel in this passage, they needed to hear this. They needed to be reminded of who God was. We today, we need to hear this, right? We need to know and be reminded of who God is. Whatever we face in life, no matter how difficult it is or how hard it makes things, we can know that God never ceases to be God. God never ceases to be God. When we open God's word anywhere, when we look throughout the Old Testament or the New Testament, we read of God and who he is, and we see, church, that he is the creator. He is the provider. He is just. He is holy. He is perfect. We see that he is good and loving and true. We see that he is all-knowing, that he is ever-present, that he is all-powerful. Church, that same God, the same God that spoke the world into creation, the same God that parted the waters, the same God that came to save us, the same God, he is the same, church. He is the same today as he always has been. God is. He is still God. He is always God, and he's always faithful. He's always true. He's always right. He's always good, and he's always sovereign. The world throws all sorts of things at us, but through it all, God never ceases being God. He never stops caring for you. He never walks away. He never stops pursuing you. He never stops loving you. Church, that's a word today that we all need to hear and know or be reminded of. Here it is again. No matter what you are walking through, no matter what you did walk through, no matter what you will walk through, God is. Many times when there's a tragedy, a hardship, or something that scares us, many times there's a tendency, if we're honest, there's a tendency within us to just run from God. maybe not intentional, but a lot of times we have this tendency, instead of running to God, we are running from God, and we're running to us, right? Or we run to something else or someone else. A lot of times when we face these tragedies, it rocks our world because we like to have control. And this psalm is teaching us that instead of turning to something or someone or even turning to you, we're to run to the one who is and who is always in control. And throughout the Bible, church, God calls us, he reminds us to seek him and walk with him and turn to him and trust in him and to acknowledge him. But sometimes, if we're honest again, church, if we're honest, sometimes he's the third or the 10th or even the last one that we turn to. But let's be reminded, I love Psalm 23. Let's be reminded of what the psalmist says. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For you, God, are with me. God is still God. He is right there with you through it all. And throughout these next few verses, we see three ways that show us, that really show us who God is and how he is with us, especially as we walk through a tragedy or a hardship. Number one, the truth is this. He is our refuge. Church, God is our refuge. That's what verse 1 tells us, very clear. Right? God is our refuge. God is your refuge. This is a passage that God's people have looked to for many years, and they're receiving, hey, this is who God is to us, but this is to you, right? As an individual, it's to our church, it's to Christ followers. God is our refuge. God is your refuge. That word refuge is an important word. It's talking about a place of safety and protection. It's a shelter. It's a place that we can run to, right, when we're in danger from a storm. I remember when I was younger, I lived in the Midwest. I lived in Missouri, and so tornadoes were a real threat. They weren't just something that we saw on TV. It was a real threat. And when there were tornadoes in the area, the alarms would go off, right? And we knew that it was time for us to go and find a safe place. The alarms were saying, hey, there is danger. It's coming. It's here. The storm, the tornado is real. It's here. And my parents, whether we were outside, right, because we would do that in the Midwest, right, we would wait until sometimes the last minute to run to shelter. But a lot of times if we're sleeping, our parents would come and get us. They would make sure we're all inside, that we're in the basement, in the safest place we could be during the storm. That was our refuge with our parents in the basement. It wasn't perfect, but it was a refuge. My parents would just make sure that we were all safe in that refuge. For some reason, when I was thinking about a refuge, I was thinking about Tom and Jerry, right? I that's the kid in me, right? You're just thinking, for some reason, I'm reading God's word and I'm thinking about a cartoon, but I'm thinking about Tom and Jerry, right? That's just what came to my mind, right? I'm thinking about a refuge. Right? A refuge is the hole in the wall that Jerry runs to seek protection from Tom, right? He runs to that safe place. And again, it's not perfect, but it's his refuge. Or maybe it's another cartoon, it's another movie where it's Simba when he finds himself in trouble. Maybe there's a threat. Maybe it's something that was out of his control, or maybe it was something where he got himself into a problem, right? But what does he do? He runs to his refuge, to his father, to Mufasa, right? And so instead of to a place, the place is where his dad is. And the psalmist is telling us God himself is the one that is our refuge, right? He is the one that we run to. It's him. Psalm 62:8, I love this verse. It says this. It says, trust in him, trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Here's what this verse is telling us. Because God is our refuge, we can trust in him at all times. Right? We can trust in him at all times, and we can pour out our hearts before him. I think that's something that we need to hear. I love that we can trust him enough that we can safely pour out all of our hearts before him. The Bible tells us, because God is your refuge, because of who God is, because he's faithful, because he's safe, because he's our refuge, you can trust him with all of your stuff, with all of your worries, with all of your fears, with all of your depression, with all of your anxiety, with all of your thoughts. You can take all of you to God. That's how safe he is. That's how safe he is. He wants you to run to him because he is your refuge. And he wants you to know that you can trust him and that he is safe and that being in his presence is right where you and I should be. And he says to us, let's see it all. When you come to me as your refuge, let's see it all. Let's see your fears. Let's see your sorrows. Let's see your pains. Let's see your weaknesses. Let's see your anxieties. Pour out your questions. Show me your depression and your loneliness. He is even safe enough, church, for him. Yeah, right? We can pour out our secrets and our sins to him. He's that safe. He's that good of a refuge. As your refuge, church, he is that safe. Don't hold anything back. I remember when I was little and thinking about those tornadoes, when they were in the area, right? The tornadoes, they were twisting, right? There was rotation, they're coming down, they're making contact with the ground. When there was a tornado in the area, we would go to our refuge in the basement where our parents were. And I just love being in a place, physically and emotionally, right? Where I could just go and tell my parents how scared I was, and I trusted them enough as my parents to take my fears and worries to them. And God says, this is who I am. I am the perfect refuge for you. I am your safest place, your shelter. I am your hope. You can trust me. And here's what we need to know. When God says that he is our refuge, that means something, right? It means we need his protection. Right? Sometimes we like to act tough. Sometimes we like to act like we've got it all together or we can do it on our own. But church, storms will arise. Difficulty will come and we need his protection. But the good news is he is our refuge. He was, he is, and he will always be our refuge. And that leads us to the next truth. Another one from verse 1, telling us who God is and how he is with us. Verse 1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength. So the next truth, God is our strength. God is your strength, right? You could write in there that he's your strength, that he is your power, that he is your might. That's what those words mean. He is our power and our might and our strength. How many of you have ever been in a place, if you're honest, you've been in a place where you're going through a storm in your life and you'd say internally, or maybe you say out loud, I don't think I can do this anymore, right? I don't think I can handle this. Here's the truth, church, right? You probably can't, right? In all honesty, we really can't handle it on our own. As people, we don't have the ability on our own to handle the evil and the storms and the difficulties that this world throws at us. But the good news is we don't have to be because he, God, is our strength, right? That's who he is. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, church, my power is made perfect when in your weakness. Man, what a good word. What you and I cannot do, he can do. Run to God, right? As your refuge, trust in him for his protection. And know that God wants you to run to him and lean on him and be filled up with his strength because he is our strength, he is our power, and he is our might. And here's what that means, right? Again, we need his power, right? We need his power. We need his strength. As a church, as individuals, we need him. We need his strength. And church, I want to encourage you. Stop acting like you've got it all together, right? And just pray and ask God, God, I need you. I need your protection and I need your strength. I need your power. You may need to stop, you know, and just right now, and you just need to say, God, I need it right now. As I'm talking right now, you may need to do that. And when we close, I want to give you an opportunity to be able to pray, or maybe go to someone else in our church, Pastor Charles, someone else that you can go and pray with. But just ask God for his strength. God, I need you to know I am weak. He already knows, by the way, but God, I am weak. I can't handle this. I didn't know it was coming, or I knew it was coming and I thought I could handle it. God, I need you. So you may need to stop and do that right now and just ask God for his strength and his power for whatever it is that you're walking through. And that leads us to the next truth. God is our help. Verse 1 says this, God is our refuge, he is our strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. Don't miss this. He is a very present help in all trouble, no matter what it is. Here's what that means. God is abundantly available to meet whatever need you may have. When it feels like the once solid ground beneath you is shaking, when it feels like the water is rising and roaring all around us, when it feels like the solid mountains that we've always really trusted in, when they are crumbling, when we turn to, right, we turn to all sorts of places and people for help. But this passage reminds us God alone is our help, and knowing that should give us peace, church, because remember, God is, no matter what we're walking through, he is still God. He is always available. He is always present, church. That's a good word. Like, he is always present, and he is always enough. No matter what it is that you're walking through, or that you did walk through, or that you're going to walk through, no matter how hard it is, no matter how deep it is, no matter if someone else caused it, it just happened, or you brought it on yourself, he is always enough. He is present, and he is your help. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your help. And look at what the psalmist says next in verse 4. The psalmist just got done talking about all the chaos going on around us, and he says this in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. You may be facing chaos or heartache or an attack. It may feel like your world is crumbling, but God is still God, and he is present. He is near. He is with you, church. Right? I wish we had time to take that imagery and really the rest of this chapter deeper, but I think we get the picture here. But let's real quick look at verse 6. The psalmist used natural disasters, right, before, but here he talks about an enemy in verse 6. He says, the nations made an uproar, the kingdom tottered, right? He raised his voice, the earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts, right? Even when the enemy is there, the nations made an uproar, the kingdom is tottering, but the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. No matter the pressure, no matter the weight, no matter the problem, no matter the fear, no matter the concern, no matter the anxiety, no matter the depression, God, the Lord is with you. Verse 10 tells us that he will be exalted among the nations, and he will be exalted in the earth. And church, this is the God who is with us, the one who is exalted above every other thing, above every other one. That is the Lord who is present and with us. And that leads us to this truth that we need to understand. And this isn't going to be mind-blowing to you, right? This is not going to surprise you. This isn't going to be new information for you. But here's the truth. Trouble exists, right? And all God's people said, amen, right? Trouble exists. Verse 2 and 3 describe trouble for us. It says, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Verse 6, so it's talking about, you know, things that the nature around us just feels like everything is crumbling. Verse 6 talks about the threat of an enemy threatening and attacking us, and we're kind of tottering, right? Verse 1 says, even with all of that, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice it doesn't say if trouble, it says in trouble, right? Meaning this, there will be trouble. I've shared this before, but my pastor growing up, really still my pastor today, still encouraged me and speaks into my life. But my pastor growing up says this all the time. He says, every one of us goes through hard times and troubles. He said, you may just now be coming out of it. You may be in the midst of it right now. But if neither of those are true, buckle up because it will come. Right? We know that. It's going to come. He was basically reminding us trouble exists in this broken world. It's going to exist in each of our lives. The word trouble that we see here, it's a word used to describe a situation or a time in our life that causes extreme discomfort, distress, affliction, adversity, anguish, tribulation, right? That word describes all of those things. It comes, those things can come from disasters, it can come from sickness, it can come from situations or enemies, it can come from evil, but the reality is trouble exists, and that was not God's design for us to experience, right? God did not create us to have trouble in this world, right? But sin came in, right? Because of sin, because we have chosen many times our way over God's, brokenness and trouble exist in this world and in our lives. But the psalmist is reminding us that even though, right, brokenness exists, like sin exists, even though a lot of the times we face hardship because of things that we've done, I love this. The psalmist is reminding us that God doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us, right? He doesn't turn from us. Because of God's grace and his goodness, he is right there with you and me through it all, through every pain, through every sleepless night, through every sorrow, through every sickness, through every trouble. God is there. He is our refuge. He is our strength, church. And he is a very present help in trouble. The CSB translation says it this way. I like it. It says, God is our helper who is always found in times of trouble. Sometimes we find ourselves in times of trouble and we look around and we see many of those who were just with us have fled, right? They're no longer there, right? We probably all experienced that. We may have done that to other people. But sometimes when we're in trouble, those things that used to be in our lives, the things that we put our trust in, it may be our friends, it may be our job, it may be money, it may be a political party, it could be a lot of different things. We see they weren't as stable or as trustworthy as we thought. But remember how this passage opened up. God is, right? He is and always will be our refuge and our strength and our help no matter what trouble comes our way. So here's the reality. Trouble exists, right? But here's the better truth. But God is still God, right? Because God is, because he's our refuge and strength and help in trouble. Look with me to verse 2 and 3 again. The psalmist writes, therefore, listen, because of who God is, because he is, because he's our comfort or our refuge and our strength and help, because of that, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, we will not fear. Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling, we will not fear. Because God is. Look at that imagery we have. It's telling us even if the earth that we stand on trembles, even if the mountains that have stood tall and mighty in our lives, even if they fall, even if the waters around us rise and cause a destructive flood enough to shake the mountains, none of that changes who God is. Which then leaves us the ability, because we're his and he's with us, it leaves us the ability to not fear. Think through this with me. There are things and people in our life that we look to as powerful and mighty and solid. And at times we can often place our faith in them. We trust in them, but then trouble comes. And the solid ground that we were standing on, it begins to shake and move and crack. And the mighty and powerful things in our lives sometimes begin to fall and tremble. The raging waters come in and they bring chaos and noise and uncertainty and anxiety. But look at what it says. The man or woman of God has no need to fear because God is. If God is your God, there's no need to fear because he's your refuge, right? He's your place of safety and protection and shelter. He's the one that will never shake or crack. We can trust in him. If God is your God, there's no need to fear because he's your strength. He gives you the power and the might and the strength to get through the trouble. And we have no reason to fear if he is your God because he is our help.
right? He's present. He is our help in trouble. I remember the story in Mark 4. The disciples are out with Jesus on the boat. They're heading out. They're about in the middle of this the water, and Jesus had just been preaching, and so he's laying down on this boat. He is sleeping. He's resting. And as they're just paddling along, all of a sudden a storm comes. It came up over the hills. They didn't see it coming, and it came, and they are in trouble, right? The waters are raging around them. The wind is blowing them this way and that way. They can't control it, right? This is a moment of weakness for them. They're saying, we can't do it. It's threatening to tip them over and possibly kill them and take their lives. But Jesus, right? Jesus is in the boat. He is present. They call on Jesus, and Jesus stands up and he says to the storms and waves, church, Jesus, God in the flesh, speaks to the wind and the waves, and he says, silence, be still. God is in control. He is still God, even in the midst of whatever storm we might walk through. We can walk through that having faith in the Lord because he is still God, right? Trouble exists, but God is still God, and that God is with you. One of the greatest examples we have of God being with us in times of trouble is found in the Gospels. The Gospel, that word means good news, right? The trouble, the bad news was this. You and I, right, we were made to be with God and to walk with God and to follow God and to love God, but because of our sin, we were separated from God. And there's nothing we can do about it, right? We can't unsin. We've already sinned, right? And so we're separated from God. The Bible says that there's now this brokenness. We're slaves to sin. We're spiritually dead. And because of that, we're separated from God, that the same God that loves us and made us. And we're on our plate, we're on our way to a real place called hell. Apart from God forever. I would say that's some pretty big trouble. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. And whoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life with him. Even though we were the reason we were in that mess spiritually and eternally, God shows and proves his love for you and me. And Jesus, God in the flesh, came and he lived the life we weren't able to live. Right? He suffered and died on the cross in our place, and he rose again, defeating our sin. Defeating death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible tells us, turn to Jesus. Call on Jesus to save you. Call on him to be your Lord. And he will, this is a promise, church, he will rescue you from your sins. And I love this. He not only saves us, which is really good news, but he adopts us into the family of God. He says, you're mine. And he promises to never leave us. He'll always be with us. And one day when we leave this world, we're going to spend eternity with this God. This is the greatest rescue and love story ever. And when we become his, when we turn to him, we can walk through any fire, any storm, any trouble, any fear, any anxiety, any sleepless night, and not fear. Why? Because he is with us through it all. He's never far. He never leaves us. He is our refuge and strength and help. Before we close, we have to look at verse 10. This is a great verse. It's a very famous and popular verse for a really good reason. It reminds us that when we are facing trials in our life, when we're going through any type of uncertainty or hardship, God says to you and me in verse 10, he says, cease striving and know that I am God. To cease striving means to be still. It means to stop fighting and know that he is God. Whatever it is, whatever trial, whatever storm, whatever news, whatever situation, whatever disappointment that you're facing, be still and know that he is God. He always has been and he always will be. If you've never trusted in Jesus to save you, the Bible promises us that when we recognize the trouble that we're in because of our sin, that if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to save us and to be our Lord, he will. For those that do know the Lord, you've trusted in Christ, he's your Lord and Savior. I just want to tell you, turn to Psalm 46. Read it, pray it, believe it, know it, and then be still in the midst of it and know that he is God. Know that he is God. Seek him, run to him. pour it all out to him. Know that he is your refuge and he is your strength and he is your help. And ask him, God, help me see you at work in this storm. God, use me while I walk through this storm, but help me trust you. Know that I can pour it all out to you. And God, how can I point people to you during this storm? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are God. We thank you, God, that you are our refuge and you are our strength and you are not distant, but you are present help in times of trouble. Help us trust you, God. Help us know that we need you. We need you to be our refuge and our strength and our help. And God, when trouble comes, we can trust you. We can give it to you. We can be still because you are God and we know. Father, I pray, Lord, today, if there's anyone listening to this message right now that just needs to hear this right now, that God, if they need to, they would just, when we're done praying here, that they would slip their hand up and say, man, I need someone to pray with me. They may say, God, I need to know Jesus. I've not come to him with my biggest problem, my sin yet, my biggest struggle. I need to know Christ. I need to trust in Jesus to save me from my sins and be the Lord, be the boss of my life. God, for those that know you and are saved, God, maybe they also need to raise their hand and say, man, I just need someone to pray with me. I'm walking through it right now. Father, help us respond to you. Help us trust you. And we thank you, God, that you are who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.